Wake up fresh
daily.
Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. K-Rock 955.
Last night, Jimmy's like, hey, let's have a little date. I'm like, okay.
Cute,
all right. And he's like, let's watch the storm roll in. We'll have some fish and chips in Queenscliff. And I'm like, okay, babe, thanks. And he's like, you drive though, because I've had some afternoon beers. I'm like, no worries.
Oh, so that's why he was suggesting
no,
spending quality time.
No, it wasn't that. But, I mean, maybe. Maybe he just wanted fish and chips. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's not look into it.
Okay.
So we went down to the original Queenscliff Fish and Chips there on Hesse Street.
Okay.
Have you been there before?
No.
Okay. Well, it's the original.
Is it on the other side of the OG brew house?
Look, fine. Whatever. Whatever you say.
Let me check.
It's, look, and also Queenscliff, what a great part of the world, you know?
Yeah, I got married there, mate. You're not telling me anything about
it. Oh, I always forget. You never bring it up.
All right, mate.
All right. Anyway, so we got some fish and chips. Hey, do you know what was so funny? Here's another part of the story.
Mm.
Jimmy gave his mobile number. His phone died, right?
Yeah.
And he called up to order the fish and chips off my mobile. And then he gave them his mobile number, right?
Yeah.
And then he hung up and I'm like, why would you give them your mobile number if your phone's dead? You should have just given him mine. And he's like, nah, they just get that just in case you don't end up picking up your meal and they can be like, oi, you're not, your meal's here and you're not here. What's going on?
Nah, they're near the roundabout there. I know where that is. Near that old church that became a gallery.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. What did I just say?
What?
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Or are you looking at the map?
I've now looked at the map.
Okay,
and I'm
well,
now
you
with
can, you're
you.
Such a male. You can only do one thing.
Hey, he gave the wrong phone. He gave your phone number on his phone. He gave his phone number on your phone.
Okay. Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's like, nah, they only need that if you don't come pick up your order, right?
That makes sense, yeah.
And I said, no. No, no, no. They have that so that just say, because he ordered flat head tails or whatever.
Okay.
Right? Yep. And he's like, I'm like, what if they run out of flatty tails or something? And then they're like, oh, we've sold too many flatty tails and, you know, we don't have them. And he's like, nah, that's not what they get your phone number for. I'm like, I used to work at a Captain Chook venue.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm aware of why we take phone numbers.
You used to dress up as the Chook.
One time. That's a good looking Chook.
Yeah. The thighs on that.
But when we got there, succulent. When we got there, right? So we got there and he went in to get it, right?
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's like, you never believe what happened. They tried to call me because they ran out of flathead tails. And I'm like, this is what happens when you date a psychic girlfriend, right? But that's not the story.
Anyway. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
We've been going for 3.5
minutes.
Yeah,
well, most of it was you looking at the goddamn
right.
map.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Anyways, and we parked there where you can park next to the Queenscliff kiosk bit thing and you can park and you can look out on the ocean.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
Right? And so there were a few of us doing that. So we had our fish and chips in the car and obviously the seagulls are lined up there.
Mm.
They're all looking at us, right?
Yeah.
And it was funny because the car next to us, the guy made a run for the bin when him and his family had finished the chips and the seagulls like swarmed
him. Really?
And we're like, go, son, go.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I mean, the seagulls, they looked hungry, Tom.
Yeah, all right.
And I said straight up to Jimmy, I'm like, I'm not chucking stuff in the bin.
Mm.
That's good. They can have it.
It's bad for them though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not their natural food.
Seagulls, they eat anything.
I know they eat anything, but it's like feeding ducks bread.
No, okay, but that's different.
Is it?
Yeah, because seagulls, they've evolved to eat a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
Right? Anyway, so there was this one seagull on the car and all the other seagulls have flown off because they'd sent someone else.
Yeah.
And I thought, I like you.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm just going to wait these guys out.
Yeah, I'll see what happens.
Right?
Here. Yeah.
So I opened the door a little bit and I like stuck my finger out. And then he came in and got the chip.
Yeah,
yes.
Cool, yeah.
But then all the others came over and then I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it kind of happened again.
Yeah.
And then I saw another old mate and he looked like a bit of an old mate. So I was like, okay, here you can have a chip. But then someone came and knocked it out of his hands and then I got really upset.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't play this game anymore.
I hate saying that, yeah.
Yeah. So finally, when we went to drive off, I thought I saw old mate again.
Yeah.
I can't be sure, but I'm like, here. So I went down the window and I hung the chip out and he pecked me on the finger. And I dropped the chip and then someone else got it. And it was a really emotional night.
Serves you right, getting pecked. And also, I do wonder why your car is just one big bird turd.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. So good. K-Rock 955.
You want to talk about keeping diaries. Proper actual journals like paper, writing down your thoughts, your dreams.
Yep. Your most inner dialogue.
Your insecurities, you know.
Your secrets.
You know, writing down every boy you've kissed.
Yes.
All that gear. So, Alan Rickman, wonderful actor, passed away not long ago. You would know him probably for playing Severus Snape in the Harry Potter movies.
Or Hans Gruber.
Yes, in Die Hard. What other gear did he do?
Love Actually.
Do you know what? I love him. He wasn't actually in it, but his voice was. He played Marvin in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes, so that's good. Right.
So good. You'd recognise, if you don't know him by name, you'd recognise his head if you saw him. He's done. Yeah. He's been around since the 80s.
He's an absolute legend of the industry. Yeah,
Sense and Sensibility. Whole heap of good movies. Mm. Anyway, passed away in 2016 from pancreatic cancer at the age of 69. Very sad. Great loss for not only the industry, but for humanity as a whole. Mm. Anyway, over 25 years or so, starting in the 90s, he wrote journals. He wrote diaries with the idea of actually publishing them. His career was taking off. He was doing a lot of Shakespeare gear on stage. He'd been in Die Hard, a couple other big movies, and he went...
Well, he got into it late.
Oh, well, yeah, life-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like
in his, what, 30s or 40s? Mm. Anyway, so 27 volumes of handwritten diaries.
27 volumes?
Yeah, spanning more than 25 years of Rickman's life and career will be edited down into a single book. And it's not that they've gone and they've found him under his bed and they're like, oh, I'll check this out. We're going to publish him.
Oh.
It's that when he started, he was like, I'm going to chronicle my career and my life and times,
it.
And then release it at some point.
Oh, right. Well, I thought they found it.
Yeah, no. He had the intention of, well, that's what they're saying anyway. I mean, they could have just found him in the bottom of his wardrobe.
No, he wanted us to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, a publisher has acquired the rights to the book reportedly titled The Diaries of Alan Rickman, which is a very literal
name. I mean, it says it there.
And they've done diaries of other artists as well, or, you know, actors and prominent people and publish them. So you'll be able to get that at some point in the next couple of years. Mm. And it will probably take you on quite the journey because he was, as you say, quite the big celebrity and was in quite a lot of movies and worked with a lot of famous people as well. So I'm sure there'll be a bit of dirt in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it got us talking about keeping diaries.
Mm. Well, I thought it was just something you did when you were younger.
Yeah, you know, that's like I said, you know, the boys that you kiss when you're, you know.
Yeah. I've got volumes
in your teenage
at home.
Years. Yeah, I see. I don't. I know well that you are a journaler. You were.
I was
back in the day.
Yeah.
I never ever once.
Really?
Kept a diary.
See, I don't remember things that happen. I should remember big life events, but I just I don't know. I don't remember because there's so many Simpsons quotes in there. It pushes out everything else. So I have volumes of diaries, which Mum claims I've never read them.
Oh, yeah. No, she's lying.
Oh, of course she's lying.
Yeah, Hell's Bells is definitely just keeping an eye on you, mate. It's just being a responsible parent, staying across because she can't get into your socials because they weren't around when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
That was the equivalent of being able to log into your socials. You know?
She's like, I would never. And I'm like, okay, I would. But I kind of think I would love to get back into diary writing, but it's...
Why?
I don't know, because I can't remember things.
But when are you going to go back over them? When you're old and you've got dementia, you won't be able to remember them anyway.
Someone can read them to me. Actually, do never publish mine. That's
exactly.
All. Please
see,
don't
that's,
ever publish.
What's the point? It can only be a bad thing as far as I'm concerned because what you put down is then out there. It's like putting nude photos of yourself on the internet.
Yeah.
Once it's out there,
okay.
And someone can find it.
Well, this is different though because he was like, okay, I want these to be published and I'm writing them for a reason.
Yep.
But I don't know any adult that keeps a diary just cause.
Could do my Morgan Freeman.
No, please do not. Don't. Just. No. Stop. Don't.
Ever since I was a boy,
people
seem to have liked the sound of my voice.
And Logie is very nice.
No, it wouldn't be about you. The diary wouldn't be about you.
Oh.
Okay. Keeping diaries, though, can you do it when you're an adult? Well, you can, obviously, but why, I guess, is the question.
Yeah.
Jody in St. Albans Park, did you ever keep a diary in your adult years?
I certainly did. Many years ago, I used to keep diaries.
Yeah.
Until I left the person that I was seeing, must have gone out somewhere, and he stayed home. And he went through my drawers, found the diary, like from previous stuff. And
yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, how do that? Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's like going through your phone, isn't
yeah.
it?
That's,
yeah.
You can't do that.
Not on at all. I found one recently, actually, and I ripped it to shreds.
Well, why would that's what
it's the evidence?
That's my whole thing. Is why would you write it down in the first place? You know, once it's out there, it's out there. It's a physical copy of it. Jodes, knowing you too, would have all been pretty low key gear. Am I right? Yeah, no, that's your answer right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I really, as I'm getting older, I forget a lot of things, and I want them to be memories forever. So adult diarization seems like a good thing to do. What do you think, Christine, in Armstrong Creek? Are you an adult who keeps a diary?
I do. I've had one on and off for about 10 or so years.
Okay.
Yeah, and I use it for when I have a really bad situation going on, like with family or whatever, and it's just a place for me to put down all my crap. And just to get it off my chest, close up the book and I put it away.
Are you sure that you don't close it up and then, you know, spray something bad on it and then send it to the person that you're writing about?
No, it actually sits in the bookshelf with all my, with all my books.
Wow.
And none of my kids or husband, nobody goes through it. It just sits there, it gets forgotten.
Mm.
And then when I have another bad day, I pull the book out, start all over again.
Okay.
And it's literally just to get crap off my chest.
Yeah. Do you ever think to just on a good day just jot something in there so when someone does eventually read it, it's not all negative?
I have thought about that because if somebody does read it in the future, they're going to be like, wow, she had it rough.
Yeah.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily. With Tom and Lonnie. K-Rock 955.
I have my favourite websites that I go to. There's Mum's Net.
Oh, okay.
Gran's Net.
I wasn't thinking those.
They're all parenting websites, so we get on the forums and it's just, you know, the sisters supporting the sisters.
Is there any, like, live cam action?
No.
Like, do you kind of all do, like, a Zoom or something? Or
no, mate.
See each other's faces?
No, we've all got, like, child vomit on our jumpers
and
juggling multiple children, that type of business.
Yep.
I used to get involved with Women before that was sold off.
It was cut.
And Kidspot is another one that I love to just frequent, just keep across, just find out what's going on in the world of other parents, not just like you and I. You know, we talk about parenting.
Oh, yeah.
Me with India, you with Wombi.
Yeah.
And
it's tough.
Yeah, but, you know, it's nice to talk to other parents sometimes.
People that get it.
Yeah, right. So how's this, parents of the internet? We have news. Not sure if it's good or bad. Certainly interesting, though, for anything like us. You may look at your children and wonder, is it just me or is my second-born child much more difficult than my perfect angelic eldest?
Really now? Okay.
Now, I've heard this. Now, we've only got one, but I've heard this, that the first child is supposed to lure you into a false sense of security, and then the second one comes along and is absolutely mental.
Nah, it's the other way around.
Then why would people ever have a second child?
Yeah, because you know what? They don't see it. You're all blind.
just for a bit of context around this conversation, I'm a firstborn child and Loggy is a secondborn
child.
You're
such a firstborn.
You're such a firstborn. Just desperate for attention. Someone look at me.
Well,
oh God,
sorry,
I'm
if
so...
the talent lies where the talent lies and people want to look, what can I say?
I'm so unloved. Secondborn child apparently is definitely a monster.
No.
And there's science to back it up. A recent study out of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT.
MIT.
Yeah.
Focus on tech, not people. That's what I'll say.
Nothing's ever...
Focus on robots.
Nothing good's ever come out of Massachusetts Institute of Technology. investigated the impact of birth order on delinquency. Okay, so this is like for real, for real.
Oh.
Study looked at an enormous number of children in data sets from the US state of Florida and also from Denmark, very specific locales. and this is what they found. Second-born children are substantially more likely to exhibit delinquency problems compared to their older siblings. Of particular note in the study, second-borns are involved with juvenile justice system at a rate of 40% higher than first-born children.
Right.
So nearly half. This rate is reflected in school suspension rates, although truancy rates are found to be about the same between first and second borns. Tendency towards delinquency was most notable in families with two boys. Adding a girl into the mix brought delinquency rates down. Okay,
right.
So at least something is working in your favour there, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Importantly, there was consistency in the study's findings across the data from Florida and Denmark, two very different environments. So it must be true.
No.
Now, any clues? Any clues about what could be causing this phenomenon in second-born children? It's our fault as parents, apparently. You might have guessed that. Time and attention. Time and attention of parents dedicated to their children. Firstborns get more attention from their parents.
Yes, that's true, Mum.
Secondborns get less. So, and I think this when we're playing with Indy, because Carla and I were like stopped out. We spent a lot of our day just... Her and I are completely focused on Indy.
Yes.
And I just think...
That'll change.
Yeah, if and when we have a second child or a third child, like, they're never going to get this much...
No. See, this is the thing.
...concentrated attention.
No. They'll both get attention, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe you guys get pregnant again, and maybe it's twins. And then all of a sudden, Lauren just reads in the corner.
Yeah,
she's fine.
Okay, and then there's
she's
focus
a good
on
time.
First and third.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the middle child comes out.
Yeah.
Right? Don't give me no second-born studies. Focus on the middle, the heart of the family, okay?
Yeah, okay.
The one that sorts everything out.
Yeah. Well, apparently the firstborn benefits from, you know, mum's time on maternity leave for them as well as for the second child.
Yeah, you get everything. That's what it
essentially.
Is. Mummy, please. Daddy, can we go to the Windy Burrows? Oh, of course we can, Tom. Of course.
I did get such preferential treatment.
Wake up fresh daily. Wake up fresh daily.